Welcome to the Acupuncture Marketing School podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Grasick, and I'm here to help you get visible in your community, take marketing action with confidence, and get more patients in your practice and more money in your pocket every week. We both know you're a talented, passionate acupuncturist and that acupuncture has the power to change lives. So let's dive right into this episode and talk about how you can reach more patients. Welcome back. This week, I'm talking with AI expert John Morrison about how acupuncturists can use AI in their marketing. If AI makes you nervous or you have no idea how to use it effectively, you are in the right place. John is an AI consultant for Jane and has helped them build out a brand new feature called Clinic Sites, which uses AI to take your account information from Jane, such as services or branding, to build out a website for you in less than 5 minutes. But John was not always so comfortable with AI. And like many of us, he spent time wondering if AI is ethical or how to use it ethically, how to use it in a practical way that benefited his life and his community. So today he shares a lot of helpful advice about AI, how to get started using it, and how to save time every day using this technology. So in this episode, we talk about what kind of ethical dilemmas are people usually worried about regarding AI, why it helps to think of AI like a brilliant, helpful assistant or an intern, how AI, like ChatGPT, is simply reordering and organizing ideas for fresh perspectives, practical suggestions for using AI in your marketing, including ideas for prompts that you can give to ChatGPT to help with content creation, who owns the content created by ChatGPT, and much more. So I really hope you enjoy this episode with John. Our episode today is sponsored by Jane, an all-in-one practice management software. The team at Jane recognizes how hard you work to support your patients, and they aim to do the same for you. That's why Jane offers unlimited phone, email, and live chat support with every subscription. I recommend starting by booking a personalized one-on-one demo with a member of their team. This is how I got started. It's a great way to make sure that Jane will be the right fit for you and for your practice and to see all of Jane's features in action. And Jane even offers a free data import, an account setup consultation, and online training tools to help set you up for success. To get started, head over to jane.app/start. Their team would love to connect with you to see how Jane could help you and your practice. You can also use the code ACUSCHOOL1MO, all one word, at the time of sign up for a 1 month grace period applied to your new account. And I will include the link and the code in the show notes to make it easy for you. All right, let's dive into this episode with John. Hello, John. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thanks, Michelle. It's a pleasure to be here.
You are an AI expert, and you are a consultant for Jane App's new Clinic Sites, which is building websites for healthcare practitioners using AI. That's correct?
Right. You got it. I mean, an AI expert, really, you just have to be 5 minutes ahead these days and checking your email and Twitter to be an expert, because everything's changing so fast. So it's easy to fall back to just not knowing anything, but yeah, you got to really stay ahead on all the stuff that's coming out in the world of AI, Clinic Sites just being one of them.
There's so much we could talk about today. Things that acupuncturists, I imagine, at large are worried about are things like the ethics of AI. I mean, everyone is a little bit worried about that, right? Fear of being left behind, but also fear of learning how to effectively use AI. And then I think certainly wondering how can we incorporate AI into a very old practice like Chinese medicine, or even using it on a regular basis for something like marketing? Mm-hmm. So we can start anywhere you like.
Oh, man. Well, I would resonate 100% with anybody who's afraid of AI. I grew up watching the Terminator movies, and yes. I don't know how old people are listening to this, but Terminator was an R-rated movie that came out during my childhood. So it brought up a few questions, like, why did my parents let me, as a formative like 10-year-old, watch these movies? Because it really shaped how I was, my opening feelings about AI. because I'm just like by using these tools, are we bringing in Skynet and are the machines coming to walk down, you know, Main Street armed and ready to take us over just because we were using these writing tools or whatever it happened to be? So I had to do some major reflection and research to figure out what is AI all about, and am I a part of the problem if I embrace these tools? So that's where I started. And so I totally resonate with anybody who's struggling and wondering, like, is this AI thing okay?
Yeah. I grew up watching Swamp Thing, which is way, way back. And that was all about genetic engineering of bugs into monsters. So yeah, I always wonder, like, why did my parents let me watch that?
Yeah, I watched Spider-Man, which was about a guy who got a spider bite and turned into. He did it for good, though. He used it for good.
Right. Yes. So, which is the same thing we can do with AI.
100%.
I'm curious, like, what are the ethical worries that you run into from most people about AI?
Again, I mean, the first thing I had to figure out was what are we talking about when we're talking about AI? And I think making a distinguishing category between what is the scary AI versus the safe AI. Sure. So, I mean, there's more technical terms, but scary AI is what we would call AGI, which is when the robots actually take over. And they, you know, they become sentient, they're thinking, they're, you know, and they're making decisions that are out of our control, and they're smarter than us. And this is the dystopian world of sci-fi. Utopian maybe for some, but dystopian certainly for me.
Yeah.
And I just realized that this kind of AI is futuristic. It's not our present today. It should be regulated. We should be afraid of it. We should be talking about it, but it's not like most of us. It doesn't land in our world. I mean, unless you're working in the, you know, top floor of Google or, you know, in the EU maybe, or United Nations, that kind of AI is not really on our spectrum. What really is the kind of AI that we're predominantly involved with is just taking data and organizing it in a certain way. And I realized, Michelle, that this kind of AI is actually all around us. Long before ChatGPT came out, Amazon was using AI to recommend products to us. Because you bought this, we know that people like you that buy this product often buy this product, right? If you're a podcast host, you probably bought this kind of mic, and we're going to recommend these kind of cords and this kind of system for your setup. Mm-hmm. All these kind of things that we like to buy. If you bought Stanley mugs, then you're probably all about trends, and here's a few more trendy products for you. Netflix does the same. Because you watched Suits, we think you're going to like this. Or, you know, whatever it is, it's using AI. Google's been doing it the same, too. So Google searches are all based on an algorithm, based on Google tracking how people interact with websites. And it will elevate certain sites that people like more because it knows that if Google can provide a good experience, then people are going to stay. So all this AI is actually in the world that we have lived in for a long time and hasn't affected us poorly. And we're doing okay still. And in fact, it's helping us. I love Amazon. It's just, you know, it's Valentine's Day when we're recording this. And I was able to get my wife something without ever having to leave the house.
It's pure magic.
It's pure magic. I just hit something on my phone and the next day it showed up and I didn't have to leave. Christmas was a few months ago. Same story. Gone are the days where I would drive to a mall, park, walk up and down, leave because I couldn't find anything and then try it again another day, annoyed by the crowds. Amazon has provided us with this. So actually it has saved me a ton of time, made my life better. This is why I've gone pro AI, at least the kind of AI that is in our lives, because it's already here and it's already making our lives so much better. And it, as we use it as business owners, practitioners, clinic owners, whatever it is, there's so many opportunities that we can be helping ourselves, helping our clients, saving time, and doing more of what we love because of this technology. So that's why I'm not afraid of it anymore. And I want to share what I've learned with others, especially some of the tools that are out there that can really help people do more of what they love and less of what they hate.
I love that you described it as a way to organize information, because we are just living in an avalanche of information, right? And so I think as small business owners, a lot of people feel like it's really hard to stay organized and prioritize what's going to move the needle. And the more help that we can get with that, the better, for sure.
Yeah, we have so much data out there. And if you think about what AI is doing, it's just like, imagine all the data just piled all along the floor. And AI is just picking it up and saying, hey, this fits together. There's a pattern here. And this fits together. And so it provides categories. And then, you know, because these things are matching, we think this might be a logical follow through. It's just taking existing information, which is what ChatGPT is doing. It's taking previous writing, previous information. And then when we prompt it with something saying, take all that information, give me something new, give me something fresh. Yeah. And it's not inventing anything, any new, well, I mean, sort of, it comes up with some ideas, but it's not like it's crazy new stuff. It's just repackaged stuff that it knows already. So it's previous data repackaged for today.
Gotcha. Okay. And that, I mean, that idea feels much more neutral than the AI that becomes sentient and eventually takes over the world.
Exactly.
So I'm glad to hear that's not the path that we're on just because we're using ChatGPT.
Exactly. And that was my first thing I had to figure out, because I'm a pragmatist at heart, probably like many people. It's like, hey, if this works, I'm all in. But then when you pause, you're like, I don't want to be part of the problem that I'm going to have to confess to my grandkids that I was the one that started to introduce the robots that are now tormenting us, right?
My use of AI to create cat stickers eventually resulted in AI making its own decisions and taking over.
Seriously. And so what I do want to be able to say is to my kids, Dad has more time, he's around more because I was able to get my work done quicker.
Yeah.
So we're in Vancouver here in the great land of Canada. You guys have ice hockey in New York there. And,
oh, for sure.
And it's a growing sport. I love hockey. I grew up playing, and I had three daughters, and they all love hockey. So my great opportunity was to be their coach. The problem is, Michelle, that to be their coach, the youth hockey starts at about 4 p.m., which means I got to pick up the kids by around 2:30
and
get them there until we're on the ice at 4. So my workday ends at 2:30, whether I like it or not, because the kids have to get to hockey, and I'm responsible. So what a gift it is to have a tool that now helps me work faster, smarter, more efficiently, and get more done in less time. And that's what AI has helped me so much in this past year, is getting more done quicker so that I can do more of the things I love, spend time with the people that I love more, give more. Whatever it is that you want to do more, AI helps you do less of the things you don't want to do.
Mm. And so what are some of the AI tools that you recommend for small business owners for that productivity?
Right. Well, there's a lot out there. I mean, I'm sure it's no surprise to many people that content would be the first thing that many people go after with ChatGPT, because it's the easiest one, right? Yeah. You just go open up a ChatGPT account and ask for a blog about acupuncture in your area. And it'll probably give you something really good, because in the old days, writing a blog was a ton of work, right? You had to research.
Oh, yeah.
You had to do the writing. It took you a night or a weekend. And then you had to, you know, re-edit and all that. So just having a blog, or turning a blog into some social media content and, you know, turning it into like a TikTok style vertical script is a great opportunity. So content, I think, for the people that are listening, probably is a sore spot, because I mean, that's why they call it a cursor, right? It's a blinking cursor that you curse at because you don't know what to say.
That must be it.
Those days are over, right? Where you can actually say something and you have this tool that's going to help you create words. That's the first one. That's usually a good entry point. But what we see happening now, Michelle, is lots of opportunities happening within the apps that we use all the time. So there's probably some creative people listening, and Canva is a great application that is using AI. So before, you had to go outside of Canva to bring in an AI tool, but now Canva has it inside. A tool that I've been particularly working on with the team at Clinic Sites as a part of Jane is website design, which used to be a huge problem for a lot of people. Not just the content, but the technical part as well. And one of the things that we've been doing is this internal tool that we have to, like with AI, we can now spin up a website in what used to take maybe months or sometimes weeks, now just takes literally 1 minute, Michelle.
That is
wild. I saw it happen. Yeah, I saw it happen today, where all you got to do, if you're a Jane user, you can just give your Jane link, and then you can, and it'll grab all this information about you, and then it'll put a homepage together, about page, a service page for the services that you do, contact, and it's all done in literally a minute. this is what I mean. In the old days, I mean, I know acupuncturists are very frugal and they love to get hands-on. They do it themselves. And so probably a website would be something that they were forced into. It's not their first skill set, but better to just do it myself, roll up my sleeves and do it rather than pay someone thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. Now the AI does it in literally a minute. And that just the preview, I know, is completely free.
Wow. That is amazing to me. So it is taking, so if you're a Jane user, all of the information about your services and the price and a little bit of information about you and probably your photo is already loaded into your Jane account so that patients can make an appointment. So that's a ton of information right there. And so it is basically repurposing that into several pages of a website.
Yeah. And it would take, I mean, hundreds of thousands of other acupuncture websites and spin it up into something that's new and fresh for your website.
Gotcha.
Because, I mean, acupuncture, there's different philosophies, obviously, and practices. But the general gist of it probably will be similar. And if it's not, you can always just try it again or change it, make little edits yourself. But it's just taking what it knows about acupuncture based on OpenAI's ChatGPT tool. And then it will auto-populate the stuff that Jane doesn't provide. So we know you're an acupuncturist because of Jane, but we can build out a whole page now, an SEO-friendly page with SEO settings actually built right in, and it just auto-populates all that stuff. Amazing. So going back to the big idea of what AI can do is it's a tool to help you do more of what you love and less of what you hate. Mm. Website design is no longer going to be one of those stumbling points for people to run a great practice. And so the old days when you had to work so much on your website on the weekends or at nighttime or whatnot, that's gone now.
I remember those days. Does it also populate photos?
Yes. So we have a huge archive of photos that we have, and certain ones for acupuncture, certain ones for chiropractic, certain ones for physical therapy. And then obviously active people being active and stuff. And you get the license right there with it when you spin up a site.
Is it the kind of thing where people should expect to go back and like make edits to some of the copy so that it kind of sounds more like themselves? But I mean, it's still like the bulk of the work, 90-95% of the work is done. Right. And then you can go through and maybe have it speak a little bit more to your target market or sound more like the way that you would speak.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So now anyone who's ever written anything knows that it's a lot easier to edit a draft than it is to start with a blank page.
Right.
And so, so what we'd be giving you would be our best effort at a draft, you know, leveraged with the power of AI to do it.
Yeah.
And then you can go in and just make a few tweaks. And I've always said that websites really do need to be nurtured, because the way you launch your practice today doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be the same, you know, in 5 years. Imagine all of our lives in the last 5 years, how much it's changed, right?
Right.
So I've always said websites are kind of like children, you know, you birth them and then you don't just leave them alone. You got to nurture them and keep it going, keep it updated. And I can tell that one hit home with you.
That made me laugh. You can't abandon your website any more than you would abandon your children. But okay, to be honest, that's what a lot of acupuncturists do. It's you graduate, you build a website, it's got 5 or 6 pages on it, and then they literally just abandon it to like the wilderness of the internet, and they don't update it or make any changes. And then in a decade, you know, it's very apparent when a website is a decade old. And as I understand it, Google really prioritizes websites that are regularly updated and changed or have added pages, because then they more or less know that the website is alive, right? It has not been abandoned and it's going to be more relevant than something that hasn't been touched in a long time. So yes, don't abandon your websites to the wilderness.
And don't abandon your child, I think. Somebody needs to hear that today.
Yeah.
They're thinking all kinds of things in the rise of AI. You know, should we just go living in the woods, abandon everything? No, you shouldn't. It's going to help.
Yes.
I think we do need to make stuff personal too. So yeah, a part of adding to your site would mean, you know, do you have some thoughts about problems that your clients are solving? Mm. Or sorry, working through, and you can solve it. Those are great blog topics, right? You can even ask the AI, like, hey, you know, my favorite clients are these kind of people, you know, active people in their 20s or 30s. They're starting to get sore or something, have some nagging injuries. We want to help them. Make a list of 20 ideas that I could write on post on social media or as a blog, and it'll spit out 20 ideas. If you want 40 ideas, you ask for another 20. And then you take the best ones and say, write a blog about this. And that's when you can go in now and customize whatever. Like, I might change the intro, I might change something. But now you have regular content in an instant. So again, that you're not spending all that time thinking and researching. It's just helping you do the thinking. You know, with three kids of my own and work and everything going on around here, I don't have time to think as much time as I'd like to think. And so the AI is just like that super intern that you have that you just say, hey, go think about this for me and come back. And you would never just trust an intern like to just go in front of your patients or your clients, right?
Suppose that's true.
Yeah, you would probably vet the intern's material or what they're saying.
Yep.
To make it your own, to reflect your practice. But it's a brilliant intern, and it's someone that can really help you. And that's a helpful analogy for me when it comes to AI, is it's just an ally in my business to help me reach further than I could ever reach, move faster than I could ever move, and get more work done.
I love the idea of using ChatGPT to come up with a skeleton or an outline for a blog post. Mm-hmm. I've always really loved writing. And one of my sort of fears, I guess, is that if I am not doing the writing, I will lose it as a skill. And I know that that is also a fear of like a fair number of people that I've spoken to, because not everyone enjoys writing, right? Like if you mm-hmm. don't like it, you're not worried about losing it as a skill, exactly. Most likely. I'm always thinking about the balance between how much time do I have and what is the crushing volume of content that I need to create in order to really participate in the digital world at this point versus, you know, how much do I want to write myself so that I don't lose mm-hmm. something that I enjoy. And that's a skill that I've been developing for, mm-hmm. you know, however long mm-hmm. I could write. Is that something that people bring to you, a concern they bring up?
It's a great question. I mean, if you have seen the Disney or Pixar cartoon WALL-E, right? Oh, yeah. Look at the human beings in that, and they haven't been using any of their muscles for a long time, right?
Right. Yeah.
AI does all the work, and they're just sitting there, flabby as anything, and bored. And
yeah, I think they have soda directly into their mouth.
Yes,
from like a. Totally. It's almost like a camelback attached to their chair or something. Yes.
Right, and if it's not here yet, that technology is coming. Right.
Yikes.
McDonald's brought all the soda from the back into the front so you can just get as much of it without even having to ask for a refill. Right. It's coming. It's just like bring a straw to your table and then it's like, hey, you can have a machine at your house. That's the fear of any technology. I would just say this, maybe, Michelle, if writing is your passion, then mm-hmm. I would say find out how AI can help you write. I'm a writer. I love to write. And yeah. I had my most productive year of writing ever. Because AI was so helpful. Now, I didn't just, like, again, the brilliant intern. I didn't just ask ChatGPT for some prose and then I just copied and pasted into a book. What I did was I used ChatGPT to help me to think through, to research something. There's an idea. Can you think of an analogy? Mm. Oh, that was a good one. Oh, that was a bad one. Actually, let's change this one. Think of a different analogy. And now it's thinking and coming up with different ideas. And then it's helping me. So I'm just moving faster, doing what I love.
Gotcha.
But some people, you acknowledge this, that they're not going to want to write. And writing is the last thing that's on their radar, but they still want to participate in conversations. Now, with the use of AI tools, that writing, the ability to write has been democratized.
Interesting.
Probably copywriters I'm the most afraid of, you know, with their jobs and stuff, which is another thing that people are worried about is like, is AI going to take all of our jobs?
Oh, right. Yeah, I have heard that.
And it's a legit question, but that's the nature of history, right? Technology changes and we have to adapt. And we will adapt as human beings. Some people say that, oh, no, existing jobs aren't going to go away. We're just going to get better at them and we're going to be able to do more. That's one take. But some jobs, I think, will be disrupted. In fact, I used to be hired as a copywriter for many things. And then I invented my own AI tool that replaced what I did. We had a particular.
You put yourself out of a job.
I put myself out of business because it was going to happen anyways. No, just the quick story is I work with a framework called the StoryBrand framework. It's a way of talking to customers, patients, that's not doctor centric or company centric, but actually, you know, focus on the other person. And so I read a book called Building a Story Brand. I went all in. I wanted to work
with my favorite marketing book.
Oh, really? Okay. Yes.
Yes.
That's great to hear. Yeah. So I've been a guide for 7 years. And I guess I just got like bored of going through the same thing with everybody. And so I thought, instead of paying me thousands of dollars for this, let's just make an AI tool. And I worked through all the prompts of what I would do. So if I was the AI, How would I want to be asked? And so then we built this tool called brandmessage.ai, and it basically does your story branding for free. Now,
cool.
Some people probably heard free and they just started paying attention for the first time, but it is out there. And so I just wanted to say that I'm smoking what I'm selling here, and that I realized the fear and the potential for disruption and tried to get ahead of it rather than hiding and ignoring it and hoping that AI just passed NFTs or something like that.
I have a question about, I guess, ownership. So if, let's say that you asked AI to write a book for you, you are the author and you own it and you can sell it. I think a lot of small business owners are worried about this in terms of blog posts or social mm-hmm. media posts, or mm-hmm. if they wanted to create like a lead magnet. So it's like, do we own that content?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have no idea.
I mean, it's always changing, and I'll just share a few things that I've learned along the way. So when I use ChatGPT to help me with my writing, I don't always want it to get the last word. I want to go in and make changes. I want it to be my writing assistant. But I do want to go in and make some things personal. And it just takes me a bit. I know that Amazon, if you try to sell a pure AI written book, they won't let you have the rights to it, or they'll at least flag it. And that's a major concern. But I mean, I would think that most authors, I would hope, would customize something so that it actually is.
For sure.
You couldn't be able to tell that it was all AI written. And that's maybe the weird thing, is that everyone's worried about, an AI, maybe it's students, right? If you hand in something as a student and it comes flagged as all AI, the truth is those tools are just guessing that it's all AI, because you could write the exact same words hypothetically.
Right.
Right. And so it doesn't really know that it's all AI. It just thinks that it's probably AI. And when I've done it, gone through a plagiarism checker, because that's another concern that people have, is this not just someone else's word for word words that I'm ripping off and calling my own? But if you run it through a plagiarism checker, it actually comes out 100% original. When we do research, we gather sources, right? So maybe you grab from 5 sources, or if you're really prudent, you grab from 10 sources. If you do it a PhD, you get 150 sources. But yeah. ChatGPT can get thousands and thousands of sources, and then it's coming up with this fresh way of spinning these sources. So that addresses the plagiarism question. I mean, you could even try it yourself if you have Grammarly, which is another great AI tool that helps us with our grammar. My grammar died when I was very young, and I'm never recovered. But thankfully, because of Grammarly, I can still write stuff that looks professional. And it just says, when we see these phrases together, or these words together, this isn't a great way to say it. Here's another way to say it. Just using AI, right? Here's a better way to say something. And Grammarly has a little thing called plagiarism checker. And you could put anything that you get from ChatGPT that's not a direct quote into the plagiarism checker, and it comes out 100% original. But when you're uploading a new book, say you write a book and you put it out there, Amazon is now going to make you check that this is not used AI to write this.
And that's fascinating.
And if you do check that, it's going to flag it. And I've never actually looked into what happens when it actually is pure AI. But I felt totally fine saying this is not AI written, because I used ChatGPT to help me with my thinking, with my research, with my outline. Kind of like you said, Michelle, it's like a skeleton. You get it to help you with your skeleton. And then do I have to tell Amazon that because I use Grammarly to help clean it up or help me with some analogies or ideas, that this is purely not mine? I would say almost it's all mine. I just had help. Much like most of the famous authors that we have read and enjoyed had help, right?
Right. Yes. Many editors.
Many editors, and probably more ghostwriters than the industry would care to admit.
Yeah.
You think the Nike CEO has got time to write a big book? Shoe Dog was definitely ghostwritten.
So I kind of feel like maybe a nice way for people to dip their toe into AI, especially in terms of marketing and content creation with AI, is maybe repurposing content they've already created. Mm-hmm. That I feel like that's a kind of like a baby step. So if you've written a blog post, you could ask ChatGPT to break it into smaller Instagram posts, or to take mm-hmm. quotes out that you could then put into Canva and make images from them for Instagram or something like that.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it, is take existing stuff and make it more, optimize it. But the other thing that you could do as well is go through your old Google Drive or on your notes app on your phone, and you were probably super inspired at some conference that you were at one point, or you were sitting through listening to a podcast, maybe this podcast, and you had this brilliant idea and you put it in your notes and you've never seen it since. Well, imagine if you had a tool now that could take those notes and turn it into prose, and beautiful prose. And so it's just helping you basically think through or build out your all. It's your thought. I mean, you heard it from somewhere else, but what's new under the sun these days anyways? It's your thought, but you're just getting it to flesh out and be written for you. And then again, you can go on and tweak some words or more customize it. But yeah, taking notes and turning them into prose is another huge tool or advantage of using AI.
Is there a particular AI tool that you recommend for that?
ChatGPT does so much work these days. I would go for the paid version if you're thinking about it. I know it takes a bit of investment, but if you think of what your time is worth, right? If you could save 3 hours a week, let's be very conservative. Take your 3 hour a week and then multiply that by 4 to a month and think of all the savings that you would make. It would be such a good investment to pay the $20 a month for the paid version of ChatGPT because of all the other options that it's giving you. Even just the app that you have on your phone. One of the things that I love is the phone app. You can take a picture of nearly anything and it will read it for you, and it can explain it, or it can even like say, take a look at this graph and explain what it means in layman's terms or whatever. One thing we did, and she wouldn't mind me saying this, is I'm on the board at my girls' hockey association, and our note taker is very slow, notoriously slow at giving us our minutes from the board meetings. And so she handwrites everything and then types it all out and then edits it all and then sends it to us. Well, this takes a long time. How am I supposed to approve the meeting minutes from the previous meeting when I didn't even get them yet? And so one time I just said, hey, can I show you a better way to do this, or what I think is a better way? And I just took my app and I took a picture of her handwritten notes, and I told the ChatGPT app, can you make these into formal meeting minutes? And sure enough, spits it all out.
Wow.
Done. Meeting wasn't even over yet, and we already had the meeting minutes. And that's why I love the paid version. It's, what's that worth, those hours that she will now have back if she chooses to use it? And I hope she's listening to this, because it would be good accountability, Kiri.
Yes. That does make me think that there are lots and lots of background admin tasks that basically amount to chores that, you know, I'm not afraid that I'm going to lose my ability to write something beautiful if I am allowing ChatGPT to help me write meeting minutes, because I used to be on the board of an acupuncture nonprofit called Project Buena Vista, and I was the secretary. It was a wonderful nonprofit where they took volunteers to Peru. So it was just diligently like notes, right. notes. And then it was, you know, afterwards the notes were pure madness. And then it would take me, as you're saying, it would take me like a week to massage them into something coherent. So yes, for that, I would have loved AI.
Yeah. I mean, let me just give you one more. It might be valuable. It might not. So I had to do a course and people needed CE credits for it. And it was an online course. So we did it through Zoom, and Zoom has a feature where you can take it. It takes attendance for you, shows you who showed up and who didn't. And you couldn't get the 8 CE credits unless you attended all 8 sessions. So me being a little bit lazy and trying to figure out a way around everything, I had my CSV files, which are, you know, Excel sheets from Zoom, saying here's the attendance. And I uploaded it to ChatGPT and I said, make a list of all the people that were at all 8 sessions. And it gave me these names. And then, I mean, the epilogue will be that I took the names and I said, make it into a CSV into one column. So first name and last name in the same column. And then it exported a CSV file. I went into Canva Bulk Creator. I made a little certificate and I mass uploaded basically the CSV file. And then it spat out 35 different JPEG files of the certificates I turned into PDFs actually. So it said, congratulations, you achieved 8 CE credits. You know, you passed the course or whatever it is. And they were able to give that to their accreditor and say, look, I did it. That in the old days, I would have had to like look through every single attendance file, who didn't make it, who didn't, I'll make mistakes. I mean, it was perfect. And it was done in less than an hour. So that is
beautiful.
I'm glad that you find that helpful. One more thing I can share with you. I don't think it's out of turn because it's going to be coming soon. Most of our favorite apps are going to have their own AI solution, including apps that need to take SOAP notes. or you need to include soap notes. So imagine if you can get all your notes done just by recording the session. And I'm not going to share any more because that's out.
Okay. I hope that's coming in, Jane.
I'm not going to say.
Fingers crossed.
I'm not going to say who or where, but I just know that those are the kind of AI solutions that are here. So if you're anti-AI, I mean, we've already established you can't be for Netflix, Amazon, or Google searches. You're going to have to build your website the old-fashioned way, and soon enough, you're going to have to still do your notes yourself by hand. So AI, to me, is a beautiful tool, Michelle, because of the fact that it helps great people do more of the things that they love and get more done. You know, and you can choose to do either more work or you can take more time off because you want to be a hockey coach or whatever it is that you love to do. But that's one of the things that AI is doing. And it's a shame that we let these fears or these dystopian narratives that we inherited as a kid keep us from leveraging this tool.
I imagine that lots of people who are listening to this podcast who aren't crazy about marketing, like they do it because they need to do it. And they're looking for fresh ways of thinking about it. But they know it's time consuming. They know how time consuming content creation is in particular. Mm-hmm. I hope this makes them feel liberated and good about just getting your time back, right? Use ChatGPT mm-hmm. and other tools to get time back to do the things that you're really, really passionate about, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. So how can we find you online? I know that you've written a book, Get Clear AI. Is that right?
Get Clear on AI is the title, and you can just go to getclear.ai. There's some free chapters there as well. But yeah, that's where you can find me. But I would say, like, if anyone's listening and they just want to see if it's worth it, just, you know, try a Clinic Sites account and start it for free. Give it a try and see if that can help you. And then open a ChatGPT account and try the free version and just play around with that. Because you're going to need to use these tools. And I don't mean to be doom and gloom, but other people, Michelle, are using them and they're going to start to get their heads around it and move faster. And they're competitors, right? And they're not as good of acupuncturists. They're going to start to use these tools. And the example that I keep thinking of is the guy that, you know, he chopped down trees with an axe and he just was known in the community. That's what he did. You needed a tree down. You called Jim and he would come down, he would chop down your tree. And he would charge a certain amount. And then somebody showed up one day and knocked on the door and said, "Hey, I see Jim. You hired him to do the tree in your front. I've got a chainsaw. I can do the three in the back." Not that I'm for chopping down trees just randomly. You know, you probably should get a permit and stuff, do it properly. But if a guy came up and said, Jim's in the front doing that one tree, I'm going to get three down in less time and I'm going to be able to do it faster and cheaper. And all of a sudden, Jim's going to have to make a decision pretty darn quickly. Is he going to, you know, use this new technological tools? When new technology emerges, other people are going to take it. And we have to seriously think about if we're going to join. That's why I wanted to help people, is just to get their heads around, like, what is AI all about? And why is John, who seems like a nice guy, you know, family guy, honest entrepreneur, why is he using it? And how is he sleeping at night? It's because I don't think it's going to be that scary to make our cat stickers. And
so far, that has been my best use of AI, but I have not been playing with it nearly enough.
Well, I hope this is an encouragement for you, Michelle, just to keep exploring.
It really is. Something I would ask my listeners to think about is, because you mentioned maybe someone who's not as good of an acupuncturist, but who embraces AI or maybe embraces marketing with AI is potentially going to be more visible because of that effort, and it's going to be easier for them and they are going to be able to create more content. So that doesn't mean that people have to dive in face first, but just dip your toe in the water and start playing around with the tools and get comfortable with them. And I think the more that you play around with them, the more that you can feel like they're safe and not scary. And, you know, you can certainly use them in a million different ethical ways. And then at least when things are moving forward very quickly with technology, you can move along with them and not feel like it's overwhelming and you're getting left behind.
100%. I agree. Yeah. I want to give the best tools to the best people.
Yeah.
For good. We want to use this for good. We're helping you guys help your people. So.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I have one last question for you. It's a question I ask everyone at the end of the episode. What is your definition of success?
I appreciate that question. I think successful to me means being faithful with what you're called to do. I think that for me personally, maybe outpunch my weight class or, you know, try to do more. But I think success means being content in what you're doing and feeling that you're in the right spot and being, yeah, just being faithful with your gifts and your talents and your abilities and serving people that way.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. And your website one more time for us and your book?
GetClear.ai. We talked about a lot of tools, but that's going to be the place where you can, it's kind of a hub for where my head's at when it comes to AI. And then the Clinic Sites website is just clinicsites.co. And you can spin up a free AI built website in less than a minute.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Michelle. It's a pleasure to be here.
One last soundbite before you go. After signing off from the episode, John and I talked for a few more minutes with the mics recording, and he gave me some outstanding AI content creation advice that I just have to share with you. It's really too good not to share. So I hope you try at least some parts of these instructions, if not all of the steps. All right, here it is for you.
Just a freebie, then what I might do if I was you maybe is describe your clinic to ChatGPT and then say, give me a year's worth of content ideas, starting in January and ending at Christmas and then hitting on some of the major holidays. And then it'll give you all these ideas. And then you just take one idea at a time and say, turn this into a blog post. Okay, it gives you a blog post. Now make it shorter for a newsletter. Now it turns that same topic. It's a blog. Now it's a newsletter. And then take that, you know, the 4 points of the blog and say, take each of the points and turn it into a social media post. So now it's going to give you social media like text. You could always go to, you know, grab an image and put it in or put it in Canva and there's your post. But then I would even, if you're really aggressive, take the topic and say, turn this into a 60-second TikTok style talking head video. And then it'll give you the script. And then there's a, I'll just go one more.
Yeah.
There's a tool, a recording tool. I think it's, shoot, I have so many on my, I would grab it, but I have to turn off the camera. But anyways, you record it. I think it's called like CAPTCHA or something. Caption. It's called Caption. That's what it is. You basically read your script and with the phone right there, and then it'll correct your eyes so that you're always looking at the camera.
Crazy.
So ChatGPT has given you the script and you sign off on it. So it's still your stuff. You would say this, right? So you're going to say it. But then it's going to correct your eyes so that you're looking at the camera and you're smiling, and then it's, you got a clip.
That is wild. Need a free PDA credit? If you haven't signed up already, I've got a 1-credit free class for you all about email newsletter marketing. I share my best tips for making email marketing practical and consistent, including how to repurpose content so you're not always writing emails from scratch, and what the heck to write about to get your subscribers to click that Schedule Now button. The link is in the show notes to access this free PDA credit. Enjoy.